You're listening to the JT the Brick Show, where the Raider Nation has come to sound off and react for over 20 years.
It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeeze him by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you today on a short show Thursday as we have the NBA draft coming up here. And the NBA draft will be played on this radio station. So that means I'm off in an hour, which means I should have been in Tahoe, or I should have been in San Diego, or I should have been golfing at Southern Highlands today. Can you believe Danny, without guests and commercials that are going to be logged in, I'm coming into work for less than 38 minutes today. For our proud partners here. Danny, I guess some days are longer than others, and other days like this one's are shorter.
Absolutely. Yeah. A nice, quick, brisk show, and then the rest of your day to yourself.
I do. I feel ripped off, though, today. I feel like I like to do long-form radio, 5-6 hours. I like to break a sweat. I like to talk. I'm a long-haul radio, sports radio trucker. I drive from state to state. So when you give me these little 30-minute shows or 45-minute shows, I feel like I got to scrunch everything into that, which on days like today is not a bad thing, Danny, because there's not much happening in the world of sports. There's a debate on tonight, a presidential debate, and there's not much happening in sports other than what we have in Vegas. We have Copa America, we have the NHL awards and draft, and we got the NBA draft that we're covering here tonight.
Yeah, and also USA Soccer's in action tonight.
Yes.
I believe they're playing in Atlanta, I'm not mistaken.
All right, we never want to be mistaken, so we'll find out if that's accurate or not, and I think you are right. And soccer's been getting me through this. I like a lot of the Europa. I don't watch a lot of American, United States, Mexico soccer. I watch the good stuff. The good stuff's over in Europe, where Germany and Portugal are. But then again, Brazil, Argentina aren't bad, and they're playing in this tournament over here. So I'll get to all that. I want to begin by saying a couple quick things as we get rolling here. I went to the Aviators last night. If you're watching me on the YouTube feed, getting a lot of compliments on my hat. The Aviators have this new Las Vegas hat, LV, that looks very Raider-esque. I was like, wow, a lot of people mistaked it for a Raider hat. I said, no. In sports, a lot of people take what the Raiders have done, silver and black, and the Aviators hat I have is silver and black, and it looks very Raider-esque. And other teams try to use black and silver and white. And the Raiders don't have a monopoly on all of it, but we all know the Raiders' coverage and their everything they do in regards to their color scheme and their shield is known all around the world. You can be in downtown Tokyo. You can be on a mountain crest in Chile. You can be in London on the tube, and you'll see a Raider. You'll see someone with the Raider gear on because it's cool to wear. So cool hat. Thanks for the compliments as we open up the show and get going here today. Today was a beauty. I got up early. And again, I don't do a lot of listen to me radio. I walk the dog stuff. There's a lot of that going on in radio now. Man, it is lean out there. But I walked the dog today. Got a couple of things done because it's so hot. I got a buddy in town who left. We had a coffee and said goodbye. And then I was sitting with my son at the kitchen table, and we were watching our guy, Stephen A. Yes, Stephen A. is a friend of mine. He's about to be the highest paid media member of all time. Let that sink in. Not one of the highest paid media members, the highest paid media member of all time because of his radio, podcast, TV, First Take. He's on the NBA and all that. So he's done really well, and I'm really happy for him because I knew him when nobody knew him. The knuckleheads I formerly worked with didn't want to keep him on the radio because they didn't think he'd, quote, work in the Midwest. True story. A network got rid of Stephen A. Smith because they didn't think he'd work in the flyovers in the Midwest. How did that turn out? That might be one of the dumbest decisions in sports media history. But today, I mean, it was a big Mount Rushmore day today. It was a big, putting movies in brackets, ballpark food, ranking this or that. Does anybody know where the rankings came in? I have a theory. I think the top 10 list came in before David Letterman, but David Letterman made it very famous when he put out his top 10. And when he did it on the David Letterman show, then he would start bringing out celebrities to read those numbers in the top 10. At number 5, there's James Gandolfini. At number 3, there's Martin Short. And it became a part of culture in Americana. Now we've moved on to poll questions, and the biggest thing, Mount Rushmore. I dabble in a little Mount Rushmore when it's relevant. When Jerry West dies or when Willie Mays dies, you can put together a Mount Rushmore, but there's no need to talk about Mount Rushmore if there's not death where someone who's on the Mount Rushmore passed away or someone is doing something so unique like Connor McDavid was. He won the Conn Smythe Award the other night, and they lost in the Stanley Cup Final. But we're seeing all of that everywhere because we're waiting for NFL training camp. But today the big story is an important one. It's about LeBron James's son. And the reason why this is going to be a unique topic for all of us is because the United States and our media is basically based on jealousy. That's all it is. All of our media that we have, and the new media is social media. Depending on how old you are, your parents might have watched the evening news. There was a guy named Walter Cronkite on the news. He would just give you the news. He didn't give his opinions. He'd give you the news in order of importance, and that would be it. And then newspapers, you'd read a newspaper back in the day, you'd get the news. But then what happened was forces from outside this country started buying newspapers. Forces from outside this country started buying media companies. The whole world had their fingers in our media here. And then we got to the point where social media was invented. This is after the internet was invented. There was no such thing as social media. And now we are in a social media web where every day people get triggered by their emotions when they wake up. I have a Twitter feed. Okay, my Twitter feed is open. And when I open up my Twitter feed, it's basically based on the people I follow. So if I follow Antonio Pierce, or if I follow Snoop Dogg, or if I follow something outside of sports, Elon Musk, for example, he's a genius, that's on my feed. But then there's a lot of things that get retweeted, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff recently on my Twitter feed that I don't follow, but it has to do with social unrest in cities, like the Bay Area. Or I'm seeing a lot of videos about the urban blight of L.A., and what's happening in the city of L.A. are people on drugs in Philadelphia who can't get off the sidewalk. And I'm like, I didn't follow any of this. Why am I getting this on my feed? And I'm getting it on my feed because social media is now coming together to pick up on anything that you're interested in looking at and putting it back into your feed. And now I'm going to tie that into sports. What's happening in June and July before football season historically is there's personal chaos. There's DUIs, there's drugs, there's divorce, there's people quitting, retiring, doing something crazy or stupid, and we're used to that. We don't have much of that this summer. I keep knocking wood. It's been a good thing from the Raiders to everything else. There's nothing dramatic happening now, so people are panicking. Because people are panicking because we're all content providers. We need someone like Aaron Rodgers not to show up. We need to see that Aaron Rodgers is in some type of field on ayahuasca, and that will get us through a day or two. It's quiet now because we're at a point in time where we've been overwhelmed by all of this gossip, all of the TMZification, that when we don't have it, we look around and we're uncomfortable. What are they gossiping about? What are they talking about? Who's in trouble? Like today, you know the biggest story in the NFL today? Trevor Lawrence's wife is having a baby. And they took a picture. You know, she's a beautiful woman, and her stomach's exposed with her baby bump. That's the number one trending story is Trevor Lawrence, who just signed a $245 million extension. His wife is pregnant, and that's one of the big stories out there. So as I'm watching Stephen A. today and I'm watching these shows, I said, ooh, to my son John, I said, ooh, Dad's got to go to work today. Fortunately, it's only an hour. But I definitely wanted to come up with a topic today because we're only going to, on YouTube and the show, I'm only going to do about 30 minutes today for YouTube or a half an hour on a topic that I think is pretty important for the Raider Nation because, again, I don't want to rank sports movies today and beer prices. It's an inside joke if you listen to radio. All right, so here's what I came up with today. I looked at every Raider game coming up this year. Every Raider game I looked at, and I put a rating on it, from 1 to 10. 1 being the least concerned, and 10 being, oh my God, I'm really worried about this game. I think that's a good topic. Someone clip this and share it with someone else. So I'm going to go through every Raider game this year, and I'm not going to tell you and do a deep psychological dive of why I think this game's more concerning than the other. A lot of this is Captain Obvious stuff. But if you agree or disagree with me, you can give me a call at 702-365-9200. So this is a scale of 1 to 10. You know, a lot of these lame shows do their hierarchy. They rank. Remember, I started off 1 through 10? Remember the Letterman hook I got you on? Well, I'm doing it right now. This is 1 to 10, 1 being least concerning, 10 being very concerning. Ready? Here's my homework. Did this today over a coffee. Week 1, September 8th, CBS, Raiders at Chargers, opening game of the year. Level of intensity and concern. We're at a 9. You hear that, Danny? I'm opening it up. I got this game at a 9. I got it at a 9. It's not a make or break. It's not make or break, but it feels like it. This game is everything. The coach kind of told me. I just saw him at a golf tournament. He's ready to go. If you scheduled this game for July 1st, Antonio Pierce would play it at SoFi. He would play it right now. He's ready. This game's big. It sets up everything. It's Jim Harbaugh's first ever game with the Chargers. It's the Raiders' first game with Antonio Pierce as the head coach, not the interim coach. It's a division game on the road in front of Raider fans who will dominate the parking lot to the upper deck. I'm not telling you who's going to win or lose. Remember, that's not a part of this exercise. Level of concern and intensity for JT the Brick, a 9. I'm going all in on this game, man. I'm going all in August, September. All you're going to hear me do is talk about this game. I'm even going to break it down early, like 2 weeks early. I'm making this out to be a playoff game because I think the winner of this game will have a real chance to make the playoffs as a wild card. All right, next game. Week 2 with the Ravens. I mean, my level of intensity and concerns about an 8. It's an 8 because it's not going to be a 10 because the Ravens are better. So I'm not going to make it a make or break game. It's a game that the bent noses and the sharps aren't going to give the Raiders a chance. They're not even going to give the Raiders a chance. I don't care what the point spread is. It might move at that point in time, but that's a tough game. That would be, I think, degree of difficulty, the toughest game of the year for the Raiders. Week 2, because the Ravens are coming off a 9-day break. Their offense was ranked 4th in points, 6th in yards, and their defense was ranked number 1 in the league. I'm not saying the Raiders would need a miracle to win that game. I'm not indicating that. That's a tough one. But I think the Charger game's more important. Did you hear what I said? I said the Charger game's more important. They'll tell you they're all important. No, I do a radio show. The Charger game's more important. Week 3, Panthers at home. I rank that as a 3. A 3 in intensity, level of concern. It's a home opener. I think it's a very important game. God forbid the Raiders are winless. It's the most important game of your life that they have to win that game to get back to 1-2. If the Raiders are 1-1, which I think could be reality, they win this game, they go to 2-1, and all of a sudden they're on TV again. NFL Network notices them. Everybody's starting to talk about them. Some bloggers are blogging about them again. Week 4, Browns in Vegas. Level of concern, anxiety, intensity, a 9. A 9. This is a big game. The Browns want to take over the stadium. Other teams that have taken over the stadium or have tried to, because I hear Raider fans are loud, there's more Raider fans, but there's a lot of other fans. This is a big one. Browns were 11-6. I think that the Raiders roster can hang with the Browns. The Browns have a better defense. They have the number 1 defense in yards per game, number 13 in points. But yards per game on offense is 22nd. You know, Amari Cooper's good. They got Njoku's good. I'll take Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers over their specialty players. I like the Raiders at home, but this is another concerning game for me where the Raiders' record could be. The Raiders' record could be at this point 1-2, or 2-1. That's it. I'm not putting 0-3 on the paper for obvious reasons. Big game versus the Browns. So I already given you 2-9 games in the first four. Chargers and the Browns. Week 5 at Denver, that's a 5 for me. Denver is not very good. I believe they're in a rebuild. I believe they're in a lot of trouble. I believe that Sean Payton, there's a ruse going on over there. He came in the conquering hero. They stink. They got Bo Nix. Bo Nix will play in this game. The Raiders will play on the road. The Raiders opened up on the road last year with a lesser team and won in Denver. I think Denver's still struggling. I think the Raiders are better. I really don't even concentrate on this game until that week. Week 6, Steelers at home. Oh, boy. We're better than the Steelers every couple of years. We are, but we can't beat them. We lose the Franco Harris game on Christmas Eve when Franco passes. We lose that game. Never should have lost it. We lose here. Like, what's going on? Who's their quarterback? They said goodbye to Kenny. Oh, it's the guy, a million-dollar man. Russell Wilson. We could have got him for $1 million. $1 million. I could walk from Durango to the top of Flamingo at the SG bar and knock on a couple of business doors and raise $1 million. And that's all they gave to Russell Wilson. Level of concern for the Steelers here, a 7. I think that's going to be important because this, to me, is a make-or-break game. If the Raiders are stabilized in their schedule coming off the game before at Denver and they're doing pretty good and they're roughly around a 500 team, I think the Raiders will beat the Steelers at home in front of a lot of terrible towels. So that gets me around a 7. Week 7 at the Rams. High level of concern. An 8. This is our whole season. We, the season ticket holder, this is it. This is it. By week 7, we know who we are. Did we run the 12 personnel correctly? Are we getting Zamir White averaging 100 yards a game or 92? Is Brock Bowers touching the ball? Or are they having trouble getting Brock Bowers the ball? Well, good luck at the Rams. Now, the Rams last year, better than you think. Offense ranked 7th. Points per game, 8th. They got a better offense than the Raiders. Fact, not fiction. Defense, we hang right with them. Right with them defensively. Don't know where Matthew Stafford's going to be at that time. He's putting out fires with his wife. As his wife told stories about how she tried to bait him into dating by hooking up with the backup quarterback. This is a team also that wanted Brock Bowers, wanted to trade for him. This, to me, is a game where I think the Raiders could be surging at this time and playing well. And that's another home game. Remember, in the first 7 games, 2 of our road games are in front of our fans. 2 of our home games in the first 7 total games are in L.A., in our backyard, in our parking lot, straight out of Compton, the Impala coming in with Pierce. Let's go. That's an 8. I'm very concerned about that game. Week 8 versus the Chiefs. Home. Level of concern, a 10. A 10 on the Richter scale. Playing the Chiefs anywhere, anytime is a concern for me. They're playing for a three-peat. They're already a dynasty. If they win this year, they'll be the greatest team of all time. Fact, not fiction. They got the Swifties. Now they're going for the grandmas on the Hallmark TV. They're trying to gobble up every female in the world and make them a Chief fan. And guess what? They're doing it. They're doing it. They're trying to get every non-female football fan. And there's not many. A lot of women love football. Look at the Raider Nation. They're trying to get the ones that are left to become Chief fans, and they're doing a hell of a job. That is the home game. Against the Chiefs on October 27th. I like the Halloween. I call this the Halloween game. Everyone's in their gear. Everyone's ready to go. Now, you're going to like this one. Week 9 at the Bengals. Sunday, November 3rd. I think we're going to beat the Bengals. I really do. I've studied this game already. I've done my due diligence. Look, Joe Burrow's a hell of a player. He's always hurt. No one talks about it. They always talk about our guys being hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt. This guy's hurt. No. This guy's hurt. Joe Burrow's always hurt. And I don't like their roster. I don't think they lost Joe Mixon. They lost Tyler Boyd. They've lost some players here. Their additions, they got the big Trent Brown who ripped off the Raiders a tackle. Max will lead them up. I don't like their roster. I think they're highly, I wouldn't say, overrated's not the word. I think that the Raiders roster with the Bengals is almost dead even other than quarterback if Joe Burrow's healthy. I don't think that that's a hostile environment. It's an early start. I like the Raiders. This is one of my upset specials ahead of the year. I think the Raiders match up better than you think. Week 10 is the bye week. We come out of the bye week, we're at the Dolphins. Oh, boy. Here we go. We come off the bye week, and then they make us travel to Miami? What the hell's that all about? How come we're not coming off the bye week at home so Mad Max can sleep in his bed on Friday and Saturday night? We got to get on a plane off the bye week and go to the farthest stop where we have to go east? Level of concern at the Dolphins, a 9. Last year, we wanted to congratulate ourselves for losing. I don't do that radio. We played good and we lost. Oh, we played good. We were in the game. We lost the game. We lost the game in a game that we should have won. I think Aiden missed a couple of big throws in that game. Remember, Christian Wilkins played for the Dolphins. We have him now. Very concerned. I was going to give the Dolphin game level of concern a 10, but I'm going to give it a 9 because that's week 11, man. We better be rolling by then, baby. We better be moving. That's we're coming off the bye week. We better be sitting a little bit above 500 or around 500, and the Dolphins will be a big test. Week 12, home against the Broncos. Scale of 1 to 10, I have that as a 2. I do. I have it as a 2. I'm not worried about that. I'm not concerned. We have to find a way to beat Sean Payton. We do that. This game, if it's all right, we'll be going for 10 in a row. If we lose the early game in Denver, we have to win it to split with them. I think the Raiders will sweep the Broncos for another year. Week 13 at the Chiefs. That's the Amazon Prime game. That is Black Friday. Level of concern, a 10. Sorry, every time I mention the Chiefs, a 10. I'm very concerned about the Chiefs. I like the way we're playing against them. I like the fact that the Raiders beat them last year on Christmas Day. Raiders aren't intimidated by Arrowhead. Never concerned about that. Crowd will be loud. Crowd will be overstuffed coming off Thanksgiving. By then, the Chiefs will probably be what we think they are, almost on the verge of the playoffs, and the Raiders will be playing for their lives. So that's a 10. At the Bucs, Sunday, December 8th, level of concern, a 6. I think the Bucs think they're a better team. I think we're better than Todd Bowles. I think we got better coaches than Todd Bowles. I think we can get it done and beat Tampa in Tampa, as they've lost Shaq Barrett, Devin White. I don't think this is a great roster. I like Baker Mayfield. Dirty little secret, he could have been the quarterback of the Raiders. He could have been. Played for nothing. We didn't want him. We didn't want him. We didn't want Russell Wilson, and we didn't want Baker Mayfield. They're right out there for the taking. So I like our chances to win at the Bucs. I think everyone else does. Falcons game Monday, December 16th, our only primetime home game. There's a really good chance this game could be flexed. I hope it doesn't. I don't think it will because of the Raiders. If Atlanta's having a bad year, they won't play that game here. They'll flex out of it. That, to me, is going to be a must-win. Now I'm using the word must-win as you look at how many games the Raiders have won or lost. At this point in time, week 15, Raiders could be in a position where they got to run the table. I think the Falcon game at home will be an 8. Falcons coming for the first time. They got a pretty good roster. I think the Raiders will win that game. They have a better roster. But believe me, the whole world will be concerned about both these teams trying to fight their way into the playoffs. Week 16 versus the Jaguars, Christmas, December 22nd. At that level, I personally think here when we look at this game and what it could mean, look, everybody, for me, the Jaguars are a team that the Raiders have to beat. They absolutely have to go out and beat the Jaguars. If they're able to go beat the Jaguars at home, I think the Raiders at this point will be in countdown to make the playoffs. And some of you are going to laugh at me, and some of you are going to say, that doesn't make any sense, I don't believe you. And I think that's going to come down to an elimination game between the Jaguars and the Raiders. I hope I'm right. I hope in Week 16 the Raiders are in contention. They're in the playoffs or are on the outskirts of the playoffs, and they have to win these games. So that's why I have that game there. That level of concern is about a 6. The Saints game in New Orleans, same thing, a 6. I think the Raiders are better than the Saints. I don't know what the Saints and Raiders are going to be playing for in that game. I don't. Again, if you follow me, I think the Raiders are going to be scratching and clawing to backdoor their way into a wild card. Could be a very important game here, but I like the matchup. And then the final game of the year is the Chargers at the Raiders. And again, I give that a level of an 8 of concern, because the one thing you don't want in that game is for both teams to be eliminated. You want that game to be one of those games where someone has something on the line, and we want to make sure that that's the Las Vegas Raiders. Pretty good monologue. We just gave you my rankings of intensity, anxiety, and level for concern. I think I had 3 tens on that list, and they're important ones. And the Chargers, right out of the gate. To me, the Charger game opening week really feels big today. I mean, monstrously big. Really a defining game for the season. You don't want to put that much pressure on any team to start off the season. Sorry. We haven't won a playoff game around here in a while. Got to put some pressure on these guys to win that. That's the monologue brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town. 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Great place to watch the NHL draft. And they have a whole bunch of UFC viewing parties. Go to your local PT's. There's 70 taverns. You got one on every corner. Go watch UFC 303, and most importantly, the draft, the NBA draft tonight, the NHL draft. My buddy Jay Vickers from UNLV is going to join me in a little bit, the Chief Business and Revenue Officer. They have a really important convention coming out here to Las Vegas with Syracuse University and UNLV. You won't believe who's speaking at this thing over at Virgin. I'm going to be involved with it as one of the moderators. We'll tell you about that, take care of a little bit of business. And I just gave you all the games that I'm most concerned about, thinking about. Give me a few from you. 702-365-9200. Remember, we're not a podcast till after the show's over. We're a live radio show now. Participation is expected. JT from the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show. Brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7 p.m. and midnight to 2 a.m.
Yes, PT's fueled the monologue, and we're brought to you by Modelo. On every Friday, I have a bucket of Modelo's. They're the number one beer in America. Our great partner at Modelo, a great friend of the show, Jay Vickers, kind enough to join us, Chief Operating Officer, Sports Innovation Institute at UNLV, former Notre Dame football player. And we're promoting CCON, which is coming out here to Las Vegas at our partner, Virgin Hotels. Jay, good to talk to you as we're getting closer for the big conference. How are you?
Hey, JT, how's it going, man? The last time we spoke, we were just talking about the beginning of this thing, and now we're less than 30 days away, and we're super excited.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the PR and what you guys are putting out. I knew there were a lot of people and friends of mine coming in from Syracuse, just because of the Syracuse connection with UNLV. Yeah. For our listeners who don't know about this, what was the vision of this coming back, bringing in two of these universities, the alumni bases, to have such a focused business conference that's going to help change a lot of people's lives?
Well, the first and foremost is an opportunity for the city of Las Vegas to plant a flag. And that flag is not what people think. The flag is, everyone knows that we're the fastest city in America to be considered a sports and entertainment capital. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think people need to understand that we are also the intellectual sports and entertainment capital. It takes a lot of smart folks to be able to put together a new stadium that's known as one of the best in the world when you talk about Allegiant. It takes great coaches to have two WNBA championships, a Stanley Cup winner, champion, as well as be the number one city for tourism and sports tourism. So when you look at all these different things that we do, as well as F1 and others, it's put us in a position where people need to hear those stories, understand how we got here, but then also bring in those type of companies that support these type of professional entities, as well as intercollegiate, and have and learn from those other companies on how you build a sports and entertainment ecosystem, and how you can take that back to even your own city. Even though we all believe Las Vegas is unique in itself, but these are also things that can be shared out.
Jay Vickers is our guest. When I think of Vegas living here this long, the three big things that I believe in is vision, the vision of these owners like Bill Foley, Mark Davis, to come to this market. Second is politics, because everything's politics. If you don't have the politicians behind you, from the state capitol to the local politicians, and then construction. We're so good in this town. Once an idea comes here, people agree with the idea, then they clear it through the political parties and the people that need to clear it, and then it's go time to go build it. That's where I think Vegas steps up and is better than almost anywhere else.
I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, you look at USC, they built a global empire. And now with TKO Sports and what they're going to be doing with WWE, and as a matter of fact, those are the folks that are also part of CCON, and what makes CCON so special is that we have the UFC as a tremendous partner. And folks like Peter Dropick, Lawrence Epstein, these are guys that say, look, this is a great opportunity for us to not only partner with a great institution at Syracuse and their Fall College, as well as all the university, but also for folks around our community to see, to really experience what and be educated on the things that we do well, things that is coming that we have now and things that will come in the future. And that's what CCON brings to the table, is the opportunity for those to really be engaged and be immersed with over 175 industry-leading experts speaking and be immersed in sports, entertainment, and innovation.
Jay Vickers joins us as we get ready for CCON. Every one of our listeners should get a ticket, come out to that. It's at Virgin Hotels. I was looking at the rundown of a couple of these breakouts and conferences, and head-to-toe groundbreaking apparel partnerships, mental health and wellness, curated content and talent, artificial intelligence, digital engagement and measurement. So tell us what this conference is going to be like on this property, great property of Virgin, with all these powerful people and decision makers in town and all the opportunities that the public has to sit down and listen to these breakout roundtables. I think it's exceptional.
Yeah, and I'm glad you feel that way. We've been very strategic and thoughtful in how we can organize one of the greatest conferences ever. And granted, we're biased, but we also realize that there's a lot of great conferences out there, but they also are siloed in nature. And what we want to do is just come at a different angle and say, look, what if we get all these great minds together at a great location at Virgin Hotels, but make it intimate, make it to a point where people can really learn and be educated and collaborate with some of the greatest minds and thought leaders within the sports and entertainment ecosystem. And but also talk about subjects that matter today and could help their businesses or startups or their professional growth tomorrow. And so we've done that through being very strategic and thoughtful in regards to the panel discussions, head to toe. They're going to learn from David Falk, who was considered at one time the most powerful man in NBA behind David Stern. And that's with the likes of MJ and others that he had the honor and privilege to mentor and serve during his time. Then also learning from Todd Krinsky, CEO of Reebok. Mm-hmm. And that's just the name of a few that will be at CCON, willing to educate and collaborate with the folks that would be here.
CCON 2024, with the world's leading sports, entertainment, and innovation leaders will gather. It's July 15th through the 17th at Virgin Hotels in Vegas. Jay, how can everybody get tickets? I know this is going to be a hot ticket item here in Las Vegas with a lot of people coming locally, nationally, and internationally.
Well, I can tell you this. The first thing they need to do is register in book rooms. They can go to www.sci-con.org. And I will also offer a discount code to those. Mm-hmm. It's called Back to School. Again, www.sci-con.org. And our discount code is Back to School. And you can register for $500 with that discount code.
Yeah, and to sit in front of this many power brokers and important people in Vegas here for an event that's never happened like this. And then all the entertainment and everything that's going to be surrounding the events going on with this, not only on the property of Virgin, but out throughout the city of Vegas, will be exciting that weekend.
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of being doing this event in our great city is there's so many things to offer. Mm-hmm. So they could come here, be educated, have some unique collaborations, and hopefully some deal-making, but also enjoy our great city. It's NBA Summer League Week. They're a great partner of ours. ESPN will be in the building at Virgin as well. It's going to be a dynamic week. We're going through UFC International Fight Week right now, and then leading up a couple weeks later, we have CCON that we feel will be the world's greatest event.
Sounds good, my friend. I'll see you before that. Look forward to being a part of this. Thank you so much for coming on again and pumping this up. I think a lot of people are going to be affected in a positive way by it.
JT, we always appreciate your friendship, and thank you for giving us this platform.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Jay Vickers, good guy, big player in this community. And this CCon is going to connect a lot of the Syracuse world with the Vegas world, but all the innovators. I'll be hosting one of the panels, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be a part of that. You know, it's interesting in the world of conferences, sports conferences, and conventions that we do here in Vegas. Every once in a while, I'll get really upset because I'll see something pop up and go, oh, they had this conference down at the Las Vegas Convention Center, and I heard nothing about it. God, I wish I could have went to that. Why didn't I hear about it? That's one of the things I want to do on the radio here is for people who are in market or out of market, and you're coming to Vegas to hear about things that are happening with sports and entertainment. We're not just a sports show. We like to talk entertainment, rock and roll, music, conferences, conventions, everything that drives business here. When I got here in 96, it was Las Vegas. It's pretty damn cool. Love being here. I bounced around, lived in the Bay Area, lived in L.A. for 10 years, came back here in 2009, and I never thought I would see what I'm seeing now. Never thought. I mean, I knew Vegas had some really cool things happening that a lot of other people might not know about, underground music and shows and concerts and this and that. But now it's my phone blows up several times a week from my friends all over the country going, can I come in next week? Hey, it's late notice. I want to come in for this. I lived in L.A. and California a lot. People treated it like it was a vacation. JT, I can see you once a year on vacation when I'm bringing my daughter to Disneyland. Maybe we can have dinner here. It's like, I don't know what to do. Every day someone's coming out here to have a good time. And a lot of it's based on sports and entertainment in the sports and entertainment capital of the world. 702-365-9200. Hardcore Raider joining us as we continue on. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, JT, how you doing?
Good, buddy. What's not? What's new?
You know, my son's been getting into basketball, so I've been trying to get a little more involved with some of the basketball sports stuff. But, you know, so I watched the draft last night. It definitely seems like they're almost taking a playbook out of the NFL as far as, like, the coverage and the green room and stuff, which I think is a good thing because I think the NFL really puts on a good draft. I'd love to see the NBA do a draft in Las Vegas. What do you think about that?
I don't think the NBA should do a draft in Vegas unless we have a team. I mean, if we don't have a team here, I don't think we should be empowered to have anything with the NBA until we get one. But then when we get one, I think LeBron James is going to bring the NBA here. I know the partners that I think they're going to do business with the real arena that they're building. And once the NBA comes here, I think that'll be part of their stop to have a draft and an all-star game here pretty often.
Yeah, fair enough. And then real quick, thanks for that. Then on the Raiders, so – I don't know, man. I've been thinking about this, and like some years, like I feel like we don't need to start out like I want to win every game, but I'm also trying to be realistic. Like, but some years where, you know, I don't feel like there might be as much pressure where we need to go 2-0 or 1-1 kind of thing. But I think this year is a little different, and then that started me thinking about back when Gruden the year that they canceled him, or however you want to put it, but the year that you know he was our coach. I think we started with a 4-1 or something like that. And then even the 2016 year went to the playoffs. We started out pretty hot. I do think, you know, of course I want to make the playoffs, but if the Raiders truly want to make the playoffs, which I believe they do, I think we cannot start off the beginning of the season slow. I know there's some new pieces on the offensive line as well as some questions at the quarterback position, but I think it's utmost importance this year above all other years that, you know, not to repeat what you said, but essentially we got to start out minimum 1-1. But if we could – somehow pull out a 2-0 victory, I think that sets us up at least to have a better shot at the playoffs as the season ends.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for supporting the show. It's hard for me to sit here and say the Raiders are going to start off 2-0. Okay, it's not going to happen. They can go 2-0, but I'm not going to bang that drum. I got to save the drum to bang it and hit it when we need it. And I'm not going to sit here and say 2-0. I'd love 2-0 would change everything because I think 2-0 would be 3-0. With the win the home opener against Carolina. I'm putting the majority of my focus in on the Charger game. Normally I don't. I don't go too early. This year I'm going early. I'm going early on our Charger coverage. I don't like them. I don't like the hype they're getting. I don't like the media members in their pocket. I don't like the fact that the media never apologizes for being wrong when they get the Chargers wrong every year. You could tell. I'm pretty chippy when it comes to the Chargers. And their fans come after me pretty hard. Fortunately, they don't have a lot of fans. But they come after me pretty hard. Me, personally, they come after me. Because they know I'm always kind of getting in their face about how irrelevant they've been. They've been just pathetically irrelevant. And they've had some of the greatest players. Junior Seau was a friend. Kellen Winslow, senior, one of the greats of all time. Dan Fouts has come on this show a bunch. But overall, the Chargers have been irrelevant. They've never won. It's hard to never win in sports. Never win. And I lived in San Diego for 8 years. The Padres have never won. The Chargers never won. And the Clippers never won. So if you look at San Diego sports, and now San Diego lost the Chargers, and if they didn't lose the Chargers, I think the Chargers would have been very vibrant, more so than they are in Los Angeles. But at least in L.A., they play at SoFi Stadium. They play in one of the greatest stadiums around the world. They have Jim Harbaugh to recruit new fans. They have Justin Herbert, who's a very good quarterback, and now they got Joe Alt, who could be a few. He reminds me a lot of a few guys that come into the league, and you say, wow, he looks like he could be a Hall of Famer, and he hasn't played a game yet. They're trying to be gritty, dirty, run the ball. Raiders are trying to be gritty, dirty, run the ball. That's going to be a fist fight, and it's week one, and Max will be ready to go. Devontae will be ready to go. Will the quarterbacks be ready to go? We have all preseason to talk about that. All right, want to mention Remy Martin. Our friends at Remy Martin have activations all over the city, especially on the weekend. Pool parties. Wherever you go to a pool party, ask for a Remy Martin cocktail. There's hundreds of them that you could have, or get a margarita with the classic Cointreau in it. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. Last call. We're off at the top of the hour for the NBA draft. If you want to get in, 702-365-9200.
Here's the wind, the kick, the payoff pitch. Swung on and well hit to right field. This ball's back. It is gone. A home run for the second night in a row. A leadoff home run. And Shohei Ohtani has just set a Dodger franchise record with RBIs in 10 straight games.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show. Brought to you by Local 872. Your workforce solution.
That's our longtime friend, Tim Neverett, on the call there. His son is the voice, or one of the voices here of the Aviators. Great call there. JT, back with you, brought to you by La Casa Cigars. I want to wish Mike a happy birthday. The owner, he's with his wife on not only his birthday weekend, his anniversary weekend. I was there a couple of nights this past week. La Casa Cigars in Tivoli Village, live music. Seven nights a week. We told you about CCON, which will be at Virgin Hotels. Proud to announce that Virgin Hotels is back with me as a proud partner of the show. We're excited to start up with them again. It's a place that I really feel close to. Happy that the new vision and ownership of Virgin Hotels is back with us. That says a lot about this show and our reach and our audience that continues to be there for us. We thank you very much for that. Tonight's interesting. I want to know what Bronny James is going to get drafted. I don't think he should be drafted. I think there's 40 players left in the draft better than him. Probably 20 of them are from Europe you never heard about. But he probably should get drafted because he's leverage to get his father, LeBron James, maybe to come with him to a new team. Tim Legler brought this up lightly earlier today.
54th pick. We renewed a cold war between the Celtics and the Lakers. The Boston Celtics take Bronny James, and he sent a ransom note to the Lakers. We have your son. We have your son. If you want him back, if you want him back, it's going to take Austin Reeves. It's going to take whatever you want. What do you think, Stephen A? What do you think? That's a Netflix doc. That's a Netflix documentary right there.
I like
right.
It, that works. I like
that
it.
Works. That works. We have your son.
So what he's saying is if the Celtics take LeBron James' son, then the Lakers would have to do a deal with the Celtics to get him back, made light of a ransom note, whatever it's going to be. This is what I think is going to happen. I think that LeBron James' son should not be drafted. He should go undrafted, period here. Then the Lakers should sign him undrafted and let him hang out with his dad. Work out every day with his dad, get on the private jet with his dad. I would want my sons to do that with me. If I was ending my radio career and one of my sons wanted to get into radio, I'd say, stick around for a year, come in studio with me, and let me watch you. That's what I would do. I don't think one of them's going to do that. Maybe one does. But the opportunity to spend time with your children when you're a billionaire or a multimillionaire and you've accomplished it all, I'm just really upset about how many people are ripping on this kid, Danny, because he had a heart ailment. And when he could have died on the basketball court, that should have shut up every troll on the internet and said, shut your mouth on this kid. He almost died, and he's trying to play basketball with his dad. A lot of people on the internet are trolling him all the time, especially going into tonight.
Yeah, I think it is one of those things where he's only getting attention because of who his dad is. And I made this point on Cofield's show yesterday. If LeBron was at a different point in his career or already retired, there's no chance Bronny gets drafted.
Yeah, I would agree.
He would go undrafted and picked up as a free agent, given tryouts, stuff like that. But because his dad is in the last 1 to 2 years of his career, people are looking at him as a potential bargaining chip to get LeBron on their team.
I hope he gets drafted tonight. I don't think he will. I hope he does. And if he does, it'll be a big storyline when we come back. Hey, I want to thank Jim Gemma of the Aviators. My wife and I went to the Aviator game last night. Had a great time. Jaden Hicks is now going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Our family friend threw out the first pitch. Had a great time at the Aviators game. Go see him on their home stand. We go to the NBA draft. That's how they have it on the schedule. I'm getting in the pool. Might go to Durango for some lunch. Figure something out, but we're going to have a great day. And stay hydrated and get ready for a Friday show. And then we'll see what we're doing next week. We're waiting for the Raiders to come back from vacation. That's our secret.